As you know, we've been going through our series on the Holy Spirit, and every week we've had someone come up and share a little bit about their experience and what's been happening with that. And you saw just right now, we prayed for the kids to receive the Holy Spirit. And today there's going to be opportunity to say, you know, actually, because there's so much we can talk and learn about the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been doing this month, understanding who he is, what he does. But there's also something about not just knowing in your head, but saying, actually, God, now move me, now use me. And that's what we're thinking about today. And I think one of the brother Raj is going to come up and kind of share. And we're kind of going to share today's thing. It's just going to be a dialogue a little bit between. He's going to share some of his stories, and I'm going to kind of commentate on it and bring up some scripture to talk about. But there's something really exciting in just about all of kind of Raj's story. So, Raj, you want to come on up? I'll just invite you to come on up, and you share as the Spirit leads. And boys joke that there's, yeah, you can take that off. You can. Hi, Raj.
Hi.
You all right? It's a bit windy.
Hello. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I realized we didn't talk about how we were going to start this. You want just
I'll say
you just
if that's,
yeah.
If that's okay.
I think that's a good way to go.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, over.
Actually, I was thinking. Well, I was reminded of something. I went to a wedding a few years ago, and the couple was getting married, and the bride and the I don't know, that sounds obvious, doesn't it? The bride and the bridegroom, and they was taking their vows and that, and. And the bridegroom, he started crying. Yeah, he was so full of joy. There were tears of joy. Yeah, that he's marrying this, the love of his life. You say, and I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, when I was going to come up here and share, and I thought I might get a bit tearful. Yeah, because the love of God consumes me. Yeah, and. So yeah, that kind of gripped me. So I just wanted to share that with you. I don't know why, really, but just wanted to share that with you. And also, I wanted to share that I think it's the first letter of John. It says, "God is love." Yeah, and we got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you receive Jesus into your life, then the Holy Spirit lives in you, and that means you've got love inside of you. And I think one of the first things that I wanted to share with you is, I know we're talking about the power and that, yeah. You know, being empowered. And being empowered with the Holy Spirit, you know, he gives you the gifts of healing the sick, praying in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and all the different gifts. And they're all important. But I think the main thing is your life being transformed by the Holy Spirit, changing you as a person. And I think one of the things, when I first started going to, I just got saved and I started going to a church, a Pentecostal church, and there was a guy there, he was a house group, we used to call it house groups then, there was a house group leader, and I was quite young in the faith, and he'd been a Christian for about 15, 20 years, and I think it was before the service or something, and he started telling me a joke, yeah. And as I sat there, he started telling the joke, but it was a really dirty and unclean, you know, it was a really filthy joke. And I was quite really shocked, yeah. I thought, this guy's been a Christian for 15, 20 years. He's a leader. In a house group, and I thought to myself, well, and being a young Christian, I thought, I don't want to hang around with this guy too long, yeah. You know, it says iron sharpens iron, yeah? And the more you hang around with somebody, you become like them, you get their influences. And I thought, well, you know, you can have the gifts of the Spirit. And this guy did, he moved in the gifts of the Spirit, he spoke in tongues and stuff like that, but he wasn't transformed, yeah. He didn't yield himself, he didn't have a relationship with Jesus, yeah. So the most important thing for me is you know, we just had communion, Christ crucified, and knowing that and being transformed into Jesus. And so I just wanted to share that. And I suppose I can tell you how I got baptized in the Spirit. Yeah. If you want.
Just what Raj was saying. I mean, that's really a thing. Sometimes, like we talked about last week, we get so caught up in, we want these gifts, and those are good things that God wants to give us. But if your inner life isn't transformed by the Spirit, then what good is it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And there's that thing of like, actually, God, I don't just want this stuff on the outside.
Yeah.
I want to be walking with you.
Yeah.
Like every day, I want to be living in that kind of life with you every day. It's that kind of life that we
yeah,
should be
pursuing. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I found was, especially when I was going through a wilderness period, and I think I was very kind of dissatisfied with some of the churches, because I would go into some places and it was very lax, yeah, and people weren't really serious about Jesus, and sometimes in conversation, people would use sexual innuendos in their conversations, you know, and I just thought, well, you know, what's Jesus doing? Has it really transformed your life? Are you really serious about Jesus? Yeah, in your conduct, in your conversation as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted the real thing. Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a transformation.
I mean, do you want to share a little bit about your story?
Yeah. 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 So after I gave my life to Jesus, I was invited to go to a particular meeting where they said to me, if you want to get baptized in the Spirit, you know, come. We're not going to have a special meeting. It was at somebody's house, and so I think there was about half a dozen of us, and some of the leaders in the church were there. And they started praying for us that we'd get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And they says, well, look, all I want you to do is just praise God, just praise God. Yeah. And so as I started praising God, they laid hands and they just prayed, you know, just what you did really just now, you know, be filled with the Spirit. And for a few minutes, nothing happened, yeah. And so I just carried on praising God. But then all of a sudden, I felt something welling up inside of me, yeah. And it was the Spirit, yeah. It just welled up inside of me. And before I knew, I started speaking this language, yeah. I started speaking in tongues. But what happened was, and it seems like an insult even to try and describe what happened, yeah, to God, because it was as if, though I was speaking in tongues, it was like I was being filled at the same time, yeah, and it was just an amazing experience, yeah, and it lasted for about 15-20 minutes. It was like waves of love just came. It was just amazing, and I felt as if I was drowning, yeah, and at one point I was saying, God, stop it, yeah, because it was just so much I couldn't contain it, and I think it was like. At the time, I just described it as liquid electricity, yeah, because that's what it seemed like liquid love. It was just amazing, and wave after wave after wave after wave, yeah. So, I mean, I was standing up. I didn't fall on the floor or anything.
Yeah.
I was just standing there, and this it's like power, the power of God had come upon me and just filled me. And so then after that, I remember just it calmed down a little bit, and then I went home. And then when I got to bed, yeah. It started again, yeah. and even when I was lying in bed, yeah, I had to tell God to stop it because it was just too much. Yeah. And I was drowning it, yeah. So, yeah. But then I found, as weeks went by, I had this boldness and courage to talk about Jesus, yeah. I mean, I didn't have much knowledge about the Bible or anything like that, but I just had this boldness to speak about Jesus. And I think one of the funny things was, or bizarre things was, because me and my brother used to share the room together. I think on one occasion when I got up, he said, you've been praying in tongues in your sleep, yeah. And but what was more bizarre, he says you gave the interpretation as well, yeah. so that was really strange, yeah. And I found that still happens sometimes. So I had some amazing experiences because God had giving me visions and dreams and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's how I came to sort of get baptized in the Holy Spirit.
I mean, that's really interesting because, you know, when we talk about, I mean, they use the word baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's this passage in Acts chapter 8 where Peter and John are going through this town, and while they're in this town, they meet this guy they call Simon the Sorcerer, Simon the Magician, and I always imagine, you know, he's got some pointy hat and stuff, but I'm sure he didn't. But apparently, he used to do the country, and he started following Peter and John around, and then he became a believer too. And then they came to this place, and in Samaria, they said, "Oh, these people have heard about Jesus, but they haven't been filled with the Spirit yet. So we have to go." And it's interesting because actually in Acts 8:14 it says, "Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." And that's kind of this thing where they had the Holy Spirit that let them know Christ, but there wasn't this other thing. Now what's interesting is right after that, they changed so dramatically that this guy, Simon the Sorcerer, goes, "What power did you have that made you do that?" And he was like, "I will give you money, Peter and John, if you give me the same power to do that thing." And you had this idea of, like, you know, sometimes people get caught up in that power in a very physical, earthly sense, right? And so he's like, "Let me buy that power from you." And then Peter and John were like, "Can't believe you just said that, dude." And then they're like, You're gonna be you big trouble now because you've asked for it that way. You don't understand the love of God and the power of God.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you. You know, you went to this meeting. You're a new Christian, and why did you go to this meeting that said, you know, do you want to get baptized?
It was because I was hungry.
Yeah.
I was thirsty for God, and I just, like I said, it was not long. I'd given my life to Jesus, and because I got saved in a dramatic way as well. Yeah. I had a dream. God spoke to me through a dream. So I gave my life to Jesus, and I just was really hungry.
Yeah,
I was really hungry and thirsty for God. I wanted more of God, and because suddenly I found the meaning and purpose of life.
Yeah,
and so that's why
I think that's the big thing. Is saying actually, I just want more of you, God.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, whatever you have,
you
know, don't let me stop you from giving it.
Yeah,
and so you're saying after this though, you felt like you were filled with more boldness and
boldness and courage. And I think once we get saved, the Holy Spirit's there living inside you, but he wants to manifest himself.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have things in our life where we need to get rid of. So the river can flow. You know, in John 7, I think it is when he says, "Rivers of living water will flow from you." But that river can't flow if there's blockages. Yeah. So it depends how hungry and thirsty you are for Jesus. Yeah. And if you're hungry and thirsty for Jesus, you know, he'll give you that power to use it for his glory, and to help him, other people as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that verse you gave is such a great one, because I think for so many of us, we don't feel like there's a river of life flowing out from us, do we? Normally we feel like there's a drought in our life, and we're just asking God, "Can you give me enough water to survive this week?"
Well, I mean, see, the thing is, I can't come to church, have a cup of coffee and a cake and have a chat, That's not enough for me, No, it's not it's not enough. I just can't come to church, I've got to give blood, sweat, and tears when I worship,
Right.
Because of what Jesus has done,
And
so I expect God to move week by week, because life's got to be exciting, man. You know, I can't just go to work and this and that and you know Jesus, It's got to be real, and people have got to see that the reality of it, because you can have enough intellect or you know, and that's all good and that, but I've got another power of God. I've got another God's love for real.
Yeah, I mean, there's this amazing thing that happens when, I mean, if your mind is really strong in God, but your heart and your life isn't there, there's something missing. The flip side is if you have all this passion, but you have no idea what you're saying, it's a loss. But the best is when, because the more passion you have for God, actually the more you want to know him. And the more you know him, the more you can proclaim him. Yeah. Then the more you proclaim him, the more you realize, I don't have power just by my mind.
Yeah.
I need more of the Spirit.
Well, this is it. Because the more I wanted Jesus, it meant to be more thirstier. Yeah. Just wanted to more. Like, you know, it was just, yeah. I still want, I mean, like 20 years, 25, 30 years later, I still want more of Jesus.
Yeah.
I still want more of Jesus.
There's never a point where you feel like, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm 55 now. I'm going to retire from knowing
Actually,
Jesus.
Actually, I'm not 55. All right.
sorry. 65. I'm 65. So, you know, one of the things that really inspires me about you is that actually this boldness and courage that you have for God does happen every week, right? Like, I mean, you're always, or God's always bringing people into your, or is it God bringing them, or you taking the chances?
Well, you know what? Before, yeah. I think in the earlier days, I was kind of going out more, but it seems like recently, the last few years, it's been magnetic. They seem to be coming towards me. Yeah. I think one of the I'll tell you one of the stories that had happened next door to me, where I live. The house there has been rented out, and that, and we have different people moving there, and they stop there for about 6 months or a year or something. And this one time, this lady had moved in with her daughter. I was aware she had moved in. I hadn't actually spoken to her and she'd been there a couple of weeks. And anyway, this one evening, it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and she there was a knock on the door, and she opened the door, and there she was. Yeah, she was standing there in her PJs, and with her daughter there, and she had this really frightened look on her face, and she goes, "I'm sorry to disturb you, but." She said, "Can you come into the house with me next door, because there's somebody there, And I said, well, why don't you just come into my house, Because she was on the phone at the same time. And I thought she was phoning the police, Because she kept saying there's somebody in my house. And I said, come in and you can make the phone call, And she goes, no. She says, you come to my house, And I kept insisting, you come in and make your phone call. And then finally I said, well, who's in your house, And she goes, well, because I then actually thought there was a thief in the house. And she said her and her daughter was in the bedroom, and they had just seen a ghost, a spirit, And it freaked them out, And so, and obviously something did happen, because you wouldn't knock on a stranger's door in your PJ, and you know.
In the middle of the night.
And I says, well, I says, okay, I'll come round, So I went round, and... Yeah, like I said, she was on the phone, and I thought she was on the phone to the police, but she was actually phoning her auntie, because she wanted to get her auntie around so she could go back to her aunt's house, because she didn't want to stop in the house. Anyway, so I went into her house, and I told her about the Lord, and I says to her, I will pray in the house for you, but I says, you must tell me, are you involved with the occult or witchcraft or anything? I says, because if you can get involved in stuff like that, you're inviting things like that to happen. And that, so... And she said, no, she hadn't, Anyway, and I says, well, look, tell me which room it is, and I'll go and pray in the room. And she was so frightened, she wouldn't even go upstairs. She wouldn't go halfway up the stairs, And I says, just point to the room, and I says, I'll go up. So I went up to the room, and sure enough, there was a strange presence and a coldness in that room. And to be honest, I was scared myself, Because normally I've done this thing in the past, but usually in twos, But so anyway, I started praying the Lord, And he said, for the Lord said, look, I'm with you and that. So anyway, I started praying, and I was there for about five, ten minutes. And so I prayed, and by the time I finished praying, I come downstairs, and an auntie had arrived, by the time... I got there. So, and I says to her, I said, look, I prayed there. I said, do you want me to stop? And she said, no, it's okay now. My aunt is here now. Okay. Anyway, so.
So, like, just your neighbors just come.
Yeah, they were knocking on the door, So, anyway, then after about 2 weeks, I hadn't seen them for a couple of weeks. So, so it was a couple of weeks. And then there was a knock on the door, And it was this lady, And, this time, all radiant and glowing and everything, And I says, oh, how are you getting on since we prayed? She goes, well, since you prayed, she goes, I didn't leave the house, I stopped where I was, And she says, but I haven't come to tell you that. She says, because she goes, she went to the hairdressers, during them 2 weeks. The lady who was doing her hair was a Christian lady. And she had been invited to a meeting. And she'd gone to the meeting. I mean, I'd gone to the meeting, and there was a request to go forward and get prayed for and that, and give your life to Jesus. So she went forward and got saved, and she had an experience with the Lord, And so she told me, she goes, and she was just so bubbly and everything, She goes, I'll give my life to the Lord and this, that, and the other, And so out of that, you know, salvation came to her, So, but it was amazing, But like I say, I wasn't going out looking for it. It came to me. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Because whenever I read the book of Acts, that's what it seems like is the normal Christian life, right? Something happened. Like Peter and John, they're walking through. Suddenly this person cries out and they're like, oh, well, okay, I let me help you out. Silver and gold I don't have. Yeah. But, you know, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. They get up and walk.
Yeah.
And then something else happens and later you're proclaiming Jesus. And it's like, for this person, it's like, you have the whole community of God kind of working together. Like, this incident happens, she gets sent to you. You go over, Jesus is like, okay, great, you have faith, pray. And then next thing you know, she's off, meets another Christian, and she finds this freedom, finds this life. And, you know, Jesus is glorified.
Yeah. I mean, and there's, I don't know if you want to share there's one occasion I was doing a bit of like, as you know, I'm a guitar teacher, and I'd done some flyers, and I was putting them through the doors one evening. And anyway, after that, I went home, and I don't know if I had a vision or a dream, but I saw myself knocking on this particular door that I'd already just kind of put a leaflet through, you know, during that day. And I put it off, And so for the second day, I had the same dream. I think it was a dream. I can't remember if it was a dream or a vision. Go to that particular house, and... and then I put it off, And then on the third day, I had the same. It was just reoccurring, So I thought I've got to go back to this house for some reason, But I was scared. I thought, Lord, say if they've got Rottweilers because I don't like dogs, So, or say if they're a member of the BNP or something like that, So anyway. Plus, my Punjabi's not very good at all, So I thought, if this is an Indian guy there, he can't speak English, and he speaks Punjabi. What am I going to do, So, and anyway, so I with great trepidation, I got to the house, I knocked on the door, and this Indian guy, he opened the door, he couldn't speak English, so, well, the thing is, I was rehearsing what I was going to say all the time, so, what, they're going to think I'm nuts, and... anyway, so they opened the door, and I said, I've come to your house, And he didn't say anything. He just went like this, come through, come through, And so I went through the hallway, and I went to the room next door, and his wife was there sitting down, So, and they just stopped to sit down, And to my surprise, And so I told him, I said, this is the reason why I've came, I said, I had a dream that I should come to this house, I have no idea why I'm here, So, and she said to me, it was like she was expecting me, She sat there on the sofa and she goes, sit down, and let me tell you my story, And this woman had been in a wheelchair, And she had something wrong with her, and she'd been in a wheelchair for a couple of years and that, and she was from I think a Sikh or Hindu background. Mm. And she said that she was desperate to get healed, and she'd tried all the different gods and been to the temples and stuff like that. And she said, and nothing worked for her. She says then she got invited to a Christian meeting, like a healing meeting thing. And she gets, I was really, thinking, I'll get healed this time. I'll get healed. She was invited through a friend. So she went to this meeting, and she goes, and she got prayed for, and she said nothing happened. She goes, I was really disappointed. Mm. She went home that night, and she just poured her heart out to God. In fact, she was really angry with God. She said, and that. And she said, if you really, really do something, And then she said, it was like thunder and lightning had hit her. Yeah. Something went through her whole body, and she got completely healed. Wow. Yeah, and she started showing me her pictures of when she was in a wheelchair and stuff like that. Yeah, and I was gobsmacked. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know I was going to, see this woman and that she was going to give me her testimony. But she wasn't particularly going to a particular church at the time. She was looking for a church, and of course at that time I was going to a church, and So I told her about my church and that. And then she started going to the church.
Wow.
Yeah. So she came on that Sunday, that weekend, she came and she brought her family and her extended family, yeah, to hear the, and she shared testimony as well at the church as well. So yeah.
It's like kind of the things, and every time you hear this, you're like, that sounds so much like the book of Acts at the same time, right? Where somehow some random random and someone.
But the thing is, you know what, sometimes like you fail the Holy Spirit. God's telling you to do something. Yeah. So let me tell you one of my failures, because it's not all good, yeah. So this one time I'd just gone to visit a lady who was recovering from, she was on heroin and alcohol addiction. I'd just prayed for her and anyway, it was a Saturday afternoon, I remember, and I just prayed for her, got into my car, and I thought to myself, I'll go to my brother's, I'll just pop there for a coffee and that, which is only about 2-3 miles away from where I was. Anyway, I had this really strange experience, I got into the car, and it was as if, and this has only happened twice since I've been a Christian, is that it was as if my spirit had been transported somewhere else, and I saw myself praying for a guy, an Asian guy, and I can remember the clothes he wore and everything, and his wife standing by, and I remember him sitting in a wooden chair, and it was as if I was driving the car, but my spirit wasn't there, so it was a really strange experience. Anyway, so I was having this experience, and by the time I got to my brother's house, it was like as if I'd come back into myself kind of thing, anyway, so I remember sitting there at my brother's house having a drink, and I think, gosh, what had happened then, and on the evening, that I was, my friend had invited me to a meeting, and I don't normally go to healing meetings and stuff like that, really. But because he was my mate, I thought, I'll go down, and he'd invited a church from High Wycombe to come down and give the service, So anyway, I went down to the service, and the church from High Wycombe, their pastor had gave a word.
Yeah.
That pastor was the same guy who I had the vision of. Yeah. Mm. He had the same clothes on and stuff, and I thought, I've got to pray for this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I never did. I didn't have the boldness to go up to him. And I felt, I beat myself up about it after, And I thought, but it just happens, one of them, So, but I mean, I'm just saying that, it was just,
Because that story, I think more of us can relate to, where we feel like, oh, you know what, God's challenged us to do something, and then we back out of it.
Yeah,
because we get scared or we don't.
Think. Yeah,
and it's funny because then we hear your other stories and we're like, "Yeah, God, that would be awesome if we could walk in that kind of spirit." But in reality, we're too scared to take even small steps sometimes.
Yeah.
But go on, please.
No, I was just going to say that I'm sure God wants to move in people's hearts. And be filled with the Spirit and with the power of the Holy Spirit, because I guess life is pretty boring, man, if without it, I mean, and it must be. I mean, I said, you know, earlier that I don't want to just come to church, man.
And just have
some tea and gossip about people or something. I want to know the power of God, man, and the love of God as well.
I think, I mean, that's the same thing that's echoing on my heart. And even when I was thinking about, this, asking people if they want to receive to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking, but actually for a lot of people, the glory of God is not the main thing that they're thinking about, that they desire.
Yeah.
Actually, most of the time, it's whatever immediate that needs to get done.
Yeah.
But part of me is like, actually if we, that verse you were saying, if we want the rivers of life to flow out of us, like, if that's what we really want, then say, God, actually, open my eyes, shake me from what I think I know, and set me free to really walk in that kind of life and that freedom. Because the problem with being middle class and a stable job is sometimes you're just trying to keep up with the job and the work, that there's no time for anything. And then we become so scared that there's not enough time, that there's never space for God to work. Mm. But actually, if you look at the Bible, you see the way God uses the people in Acts. It's not that just they had nothing to do. It's that God would always create the right space and the right time for his work to be done. And I guess that's the big shift of saying, is it, what on earth am I here for?
Yeah.
Am I here to every Sunday come to church, have a cake and a tea, and then go to work the next week? Or God, are you... is there anything more you want me to do or to be filled with to go and move forward with that?
Sure, yeah. And I think because the church is moving forward, you know, we've got we're moving as a church, and I'm sure God wants to move us as individuals in the Lord, and I'm sure the church will expand as well, even more, But I really believe that God wants to baptize people in the Holy Ghost, but you must have a hunger, you must have a thirst, you must desire it, and then he will satisfy that desire, because that's his promise. But you must be hungry and thirsty. You must fall. You know, I was talking earlier about the wedding I'd gone to. That guy really loved his wife. And so we must love Jesus. Beyond anything else.
And I totally agree. I'm going to share my story.
Okay.
So. I was invited to a prayer conference. Some of you guys know I was invited to a prayer conference. I don't think you know this, but I was invited to a prayer conference. I was like, who wants to go to a prayer conference? Will you pray for the whole weekend? There's no way I'm going to survive. But they asked me to play the piano. So I said, all right, I guess I'll have to, because, you know, these Chinese people are hard up for people that play instruments. So I said, I'll go to this prayer conference. So I went to this prayer conference and played piano. And then it turns out they don't pray the whole weekend. They have like teaching and stuff like that. So I was like, it was pretty good. And there was a workshop. And during the workshop, the guy was saying, you know, during worship, you know, it's not just worshiping. Sometimes God wants to give you something. You have to obey. When God speaks to you, you should obey. And I guess I'd heard that. You know that in the Bible. But this is the first time I thought, oh, if maybe God wants to give you something, and I should respond to that. So I thought, well, that's really interesting. So what happened was then that evening I was playing piano, and as I was playing piano, I heard very clearly in my heart and my spirit where God said, oh, I want you to kneel while you're... And I thought to myself, well, I can't kneel. I'm playing piano in the front. If I kneel, everyone's going to look at me really funny, so I'm not going to kneel, God. And then I heard him say again, kneel. And I was looking around, and so people were already praying for each other, so I technically could have kneeled and no one would have noticed, but in my head I thought, no, I'm not going to kneel. It just looks too stupid. So I'm playing, and then I thought, what if God wants to give me something? What if I miss this chance? I should kneel. Then I thought, I'm not going to kneel. It looks stupid. So I didn't kneel. And then I went back to my room that night, and I was lying in bed and thought, oh, God wanted to give me something, and I didn't obey him. I didn't kneel. Great. And I thought, what if he'll ask me tomorrow night, because I went one more night. Maybe he'll ask me. Then I thought, but if he asked me, will it be me thinking I want him to ask me, so he's asked me to kneel? Or will it really be him asking me? Or am I just going to be psychologically tricking myself out? And I got really confused. So the next day, I'm playing piano, and I'm like, okay, God, are you going to say anything? Can you say something? You're not saying anything. Like, to the end. Okay, we're not. Okay, fine, I missed my chance. I'm sorry. And then suddenly God said, lie down. I thought, cheeky, aren't you, God? I said, and then you know it's not me, because I'm never going to tell myself to lie down, and it's not me just coming up with something. God, and I said, God, can't I just kneel? Yes, and you said yesterday was kneeling. And you said lie down, and then he didn't say lie down on your face, prostrate. Like, you know, I thought that's an okay worship. He didn't lie down on your back like a lazy piano player. So I was like, okay. Okay, and then so the debate went in my head, do I lie down? No, because this is really dumb now. And I thought, what if he wants to give me something I'm going to miss out? And then I thought, actually, I don't care what other people think. I don't want to miss out on God. I want more of him. So I did this thing where, do you guys see me do this? So I'm playing piano, and I don't know why I thought this would look less So then I was lying down, and so I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this doesn't make sense. So I lie down on the, I lie on the ground, and then I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I just did this, and as soon as I did this, it was like the love of God just came on me, similar to what you said. And it's weird because if you guys have talked to me, you know I can be really kind of cynical, sarcastic, kind of cheeky. And one of the things that I could never really say was like, I love God. Like, I really love Jesus. Because every time I would think of that, I would think of a cheesy circle sticker that says, I love Jesus. And I'm like, so cheesy, I'm not going to say that. But after that happened, it was like, I really love Jesus. Like, I really love him. And it was so great because I knew that that was not just in my head anymore. It was in my heart. So I got up, and then I started like kind of like dancing with God, but not like raving, but like kind of slow dancing with God. This kind of like, I just loved being with him, and that was something really precious and really special because and it really changed my mindset to say, you know, Bert, sometimes you stop yourself from loving me. And it was where it got to the point where God said, okay, you just have to trust me. And sometimes it's a step of faith. Mm. It's a step of obedience, actually, and doing that. What's funny is then the next day, you know, like in these kind of more charismatic, everyone's like, oh, what happened to you? I saw something happen to you. And I'm like, nothing. What do you mean? What are you talking about? And they're like, no, I saw you. And then you were like kind of, I was like, oh, I was just dancing with God. Doesn't everyone dance with God? I don't know. I was dancing with God. It's fine, right? It's okay. Okay, I'm going to go now. I feel really awkward. But yeah. But afterwards, driving home, for the first time in a long time, there's a real freedom of worship and a real passion to not just declare God's name, but just to love him.
Yeah.
And just to be in that. And so, you know, today, we're, you know, I've asked Francis and Raj and Isabella to be over there to pray for me. I'll be up here in the front. You know, if you know, actually, your life is not filled with that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it's not a question of salvation. This is a question of life, of like, I'm really living for God. And you know, there might be something blocking you from that, or else, you know, maybe it's just, you just have never had that moment. You know, today, just we're inviting you to come up to the front during worship and just say, can you pray for me? Now, there's two things. One is actually, if you have something physical and you need healing for, you can come up and say, actually, I'm having this back problem or having this knee problem. Can you pray for healing for me? If you know there's something in particular or you feel like there's something in particular that's blocking you, there's a hindrance there. Come up and say, this is blocking me. Can you pray for me? And if it's just actually generally, God, I want to live by your Spirit. I want to walk by your Spirit. I want that book of Acts to be real in my life. I want what Paul writes in Galatians and Ephesians to be real in my life. And just say, can you just pray for me to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit? I spent the first 3 weeks really doing the teaching to help you understand this is about the glory of God, not just about some sort of special skill you get, like a leveling up. This is about the glory of God and about you saying, actually, I want you, God, more than anything else. So the step of faith is just obey to what God says. If you feel moved or led, do you want to? Lord God, will you be magnified and glorified in this place, your name exalted above every other? Let nothing hinder your work, Lord. Let us not get in the way of you. So Spirit, move across this place. Let your truth reign in our hearts, Lord, to know that there is forgiveness, there is comfort, there is hope, there is life in you. So Spirit, come and lead us, come and fill us, come and help us walk in the way of Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's come and worship.